Bethany College of Missions in Minnesota. I left here 30 years ago to go to Bethany. And I really was just going to get a Bible education. I really was not there because of missions. In fact, I kind of thought, boy, I wish these people would stop talking about missions all the time. Don't think that if you go to Bible, you know, Bethany College of Missions. But and so I describe myself as being caught up in God's tractor beam and just compelled to go be a part of the going. And so I remember I was in a class called Introduction to Missions, and our textbook was Christian Missions in Biblical Perspective. And what I could never shake was how thick that Bible or that book was, about how much the Bible spoke about what's on God's heart for missions. I thought, well, this is, you know, the story of Jonah running from missions. It's the Great Commission, and then a couple of comments about Paul. But the more I read about that, the more I understood that that thread is woven through the scripture and reveals God's heart and his passion to reach those who are cut off from his glorious message. So this morning, I'd like to present some scriptures to you that surprised me again how much the Word of God talks about people groups. So working with Joshua Project, as Pastor said, we focus on people groups. People groups could be you'll see in these texts, you'll see certain words in red. And watch out for these terms: families, tribes, nations. My mind just went blank on the others there, but we actually just read from Revelation 5. We're going to see these terms in red, and these are all a kind of a shared focus on God's heart. So he is about getting the peoples of the world connected with his story. So as we go through this, I also want you to look at a couple of other terms or concepts. I want you to look at blessing, how much blessing shows up in these scriptures, and how much light shows up in these scriptures, how much we are called to be light. We are invited to be part of God's team. And so I have several verses. We're only going to go over some of these, and I want to make these available too. So if anyone is interested later on, I'll make these available to you. So we're going to begin with kind of a story. This is not the real Tower of Babel, but it is a figure of that. And so we're going to start in Genesis 11. And again, look for these words in this. I have not put the full scriptures up on the slides, but I'll read this to you. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people. They have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language so that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. And so you can see, if you were listening closely, you could hear people and you could hear language in that text. The complicated story of the ethnic groups of the world began with what God did at Babel. And the purpose of dispersing the people at Babel was actually to one day bring them back to himself. And we're going to talk about that through these scriptures that, again, reveal God's heart and his plan throughout all history and throughout the scriptures of winning back to himself the peoples of the earth. And as we, again, as we look at these verses, see your place in this, because God invites us to be part of that, calling us back, calling the nations back. In Genesis 12, 1 through 3, we hear this promise to Abraham, and I told you to look out for blessing. This, we will hear it here. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your faith, your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So we have that word families in there. We also had the word nation there. God delivers a blessing to Abraham. He makes him a blessing, but always with a purpose. You'll see in many of these scriptures this thread going through of, we are blessed, but it's not just so that we'll feel blessed. We are blessed for a purpose, and it is to pour that blessing then out. And in 2 Chronicles 6, 32 through 33, we see the dedication of Solomon's temple. And he invites, in that prayer, he invites the foreigner to come into God's house and asks God to hear the prayer of a foreigner who would come into his house and pray to him. Likewise, when a foreigner who is not of your people Israel, when a foreigner who is not of your people Israel comes from a far country, for the sake of your great name and your mighty hand and your outstretched arm, then when he comes and prays towards this house, hear from heaven your dwelling place, and do according to all for which the foreigner calls to you, in order that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you as do your people Israel, and that they may know that this house that I have built is called by your name. Again, even in the founding, the dedication of the temple, in the middle of the Jewish people, there was this heart of God for the people who were beyond the family of Israel. So we see God's heart in this. Now we jump to Psalm 67. 67, 1 through 3. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth. Again, why are we blessed? Why should we seek his face to shine on us? That your way, that God's way, may be known on earth. Your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. And that refrain is repeated in verse 5, too. It's the same in verse 5. Now on to Isaiah. Isaiah 49, 6. It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. It's too light a thing for you to do just that. God says, I will make you a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. That's a phrase you'll hear in here a lot too, is the end of the earth or the ends of the earth. God is very interested in his message and his light and his offer getting to the ends of the earth, wherever it is not. Wherever the light is not, he wants his light to shine there. And he wants us to be a part of that, reflecting his light. You'll recognize this verse in Isaiah 56, 7, because we hear it again in the New Testament. My house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. And when we think of Jesus in the temple, quoting this, he's he's a little excited. He's a little bit passionate when he uses this. He's got a whip in his hand. He's throwing over tables. You know the bracelets that say, you know, what would Jesus do? He's not above flipping over tables, and I think we should say, what would Jesus do? Not maybe what Jesus would have me to do, because maybe you shouldn't do that. But he was consumed by a passion, a zeal for the house of God. But in this place where they were selling, this was a place reserved not for the Jewish people. This was a place reserved for prayer for the Gentiles who couldn't go further in. And the people were ignoring the foreigner. They were ignoring these people cut off. It was kind of a, I got mine, and that's good. I just want to preserve mine. That's not the heart of God regarding the peoples of the world. We know that John 3:16 says that he loved the world. That's a way, in Spanish, we would say, that verse says, todo el mundo, and that's the way in Spanish we refer to everybody. That's just a phrase that means everybody. Todo el mundo, all the world. And so we see God's heart over and over again interested in those, that one lost sheep. You know, I think I would tend to, I'm glad that God's heart is bigger than mine, because I'd be like, 99% is pretty good. But I'm so glad that God doesn't give up and that he seeks the ends of the earth. And he, again, invites us to be part of that. Now we're in the New Testament, Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed, that's a promise, will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Do you think the coming of the Lord is close, is imminent? It is, but we have work to do. This gospel will be preached to all people groups. The word here for nations is ethne, and you can hear in that ethnic group, ethnicity. This is not the flags of the world, but it is the peoples who live in these countries represented by the flags. And not just individuals, but people groups, the ethnic groups, the tribes, the families, the languages of the world. And so we have a promise that the end will come when the gospel is proclaimed among these people groups. Matthew 28:18-20. Boy, if we're going to have a missions month, a missions-focused month, we're going to encounter this verse. When I was young, I thought, this is it. This is really where the Bible talks about this. These are the famous last words of Jesus on earth. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Same Greek word. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And so as Jesus leaves us temporarily, leaves the disciples temporarily, he gives them this commission. And it is not just to them. It is to us. We must be about, just as Jesus said, we must be about our Father's business. And his business is to make him famous in the world among all peoples. Luke 24:46-47, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And then, I didn't put this on the slide, but I just want to move into Acts 1:8. We've heard this before. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. There's that phrase again, end of the earth. We do a disservice to this when we think that we concentrate on Jerusalem until we're done in Jerusalem, and then we move on to Judea. Instead, it's simultaneous ministry, it's simultaneous outreach. It's all of God's family obeying all of his command to go to all of the earth and to seek out those that are still cut off from the gospel. We're still in Acts here, Acts 13:47. For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, and again, here's this about light, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. And so let us never be content that, look how well we're doing. We're experiencing revival in some area. That's wonderful. That should be celebrated. But God's heart is always into the darkness, farther and farther into the darkness, shining the light. And we must be willing to go. In fact, Acts 22:21 says, and he said to me, go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles. I hear people talking about, well, we don't have to go. The nations are coming to us. But the Great Commission always was about going also. Now, we have our Jerusalem. We have our near neighbors. We have friends and family who we are interceding for. We're sharing the gospel with them. But we're called to go further. And we're actually called to go. Because those who are cut off from the gospel are increasingly far from us at a distance. And so we are to be like Paul. Paul would not sit still. He just kept moving and moving. He didn't want to build on somebody else's foundation. He wanted to find where Christ was not being proclaimed and proclaim him there. And now on to Romans 1:5. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations. Once again, that Greek word for peoples, the ethnic groups, the tribes of the world. And now on to Galatians 3:8. Now this will hearken back to Genesis, this part of Genesis, and give commentary. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. Now, it's translated nations from the Greek, but in Genesis 12, it was the families. It was talking about the families. But this, again, is Abraham was blessed. He was super blessed. But there was a purpose for the blessing. It was not to be just used himself. It's as the scripture describes Christ, he emptied himself to come and be among us. Incarnational. It's a good thing Jesus followed that go commandment. It's a good thing that he just didn't say, well, maybe they'll be sent to me. He went. And now Revelation 5:9, we read that, Darby read this in context this morning. And so we get this beautiful picture of the throne room. This is what we get to look forward to. And this will be the culmination of the heart of God and the obedience of his people. Because in this throne room, there are representatives from every people group. Revelation 5:9 says, and they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransom people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. So he's kind of covering everything. John is kind of covering everything here: tribe, language, people, and nation. We know that there are languages represented in the world that have no scripture translated to them. And that is just a sad commentary. I can give you good news this morning, though, in saying that the church is changing that. And people are working together to ensure that the gospel is translated to every language spoken on the earth. And organizations are cooperating together to make sure that the message is available in the language. Now, that's just the first step, because someone has to take that message to the people. So there is always this element of going. And now we see something similar in Revelation 7, 9. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands. So as I said, I have probably a third more of what I've read. I have more verses here, and I'd love to make that available to you. But we can see from Genesis to Revelation that God's heart is for the peoples of the world. And he invites us to be that light. Now, the light is reflected in us. It comes from Christ. But we are called to be a part of that. And I said in the Sunday school hour that I feel at home here, not just because I grew up not far from here, and I know so many of you, but also because when I come into this body of believers, I resonate with your task. If you look in your bulletin, and I'll put that up on the screen, on the front of your bulletin, it talks about our motto, our worship, and then our task. And it says, our task, as we are transformed more and more into the image of Christ, is to share this life-changing gospel with our neighbors and with the rest of the world, as we faithfully engage in the great commission of our Savior. I just love that, because you have been blessed here. We are very blessed with the gospel. We are saturated with the gospel here. Now, there are plenty of people, our neighbors, our families, our heart breaks for those who are rejecting that gospel, but it's among us. We hold it in our hands. I have never been with you and heard a gospel preached other than what is the true gospel of Christ. You are very blessed. We are all very blessed. And so what do we do with that? Well, we share that with our neighbors. We ought to be doing that every day. But also the rest of the world. There are people who are unreached with the gospel, people who are cut off, the hidden or the forgotten peoples of the world. And I just love the fact that this body of believers is committed to changing that. Everybody ought to have the chance to know what we know. It's too good of news to hold. This is a map of the world generated from Joshua Project data. It's full of dots, green, yellow, and red dots, which is a scale of what we call reachness. So the red represents those who are most gospel deprived, those people groups. They're not countries. You notice we don't have country boundaries there. You can make them out. You can see India because it's just covered with red dots. It's covered with over 2,000 red dots. Over 2,000 unreached people groups live in India. You could be praying for India, because the leader of India is dead set against the kingdom of God. And he wants India to be Hindu only. And they're really cracking down on believers there who would want to work there to make a change. He will not succeed. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God will succeed in India. We need to be praying for them. But you can see automatically where the need is. We were pointing out in the Sunday school hour, there are some red dots in the United States. There are some people groups in the United States who are still lacking the gospel among them. Now, when I say lacking the gospel, I don't mean, you know, some people aren't in the family of God. That's true of all people groups. But such a small percentage, less than 2% of those people group, of the people in that people group, are followers of Christ. And so we see very few in America. That means that we must go as the commission is given. And so once again, I want to commend this body of believers for being faithful in that and obedient to the Great Commission. I want to challenge you to always, that legacy would always be true of this church. I promise you it will bring blessing, because that's what the blessing is for. So I just want to thank you for coming out this morning. Again, thank you for your attention as a people of God to the peoples of the world who still are not the people of God. And I'd like to do something this morning. I've pulled up the Unreached of the Day on my mobile phone, because these dots that I was showing, there's 7,400 of those dots on the map that were red. There were 17,400 dots, but 7,400 and something were red dots, where the most gospel-deprived live. That's too much for me. Those numbers are too much for me. But seeing a face this morning, for instance, of the Hausa, you can't see that from where you are, but if you download the Joshua Project app, you would be able to see it on your phone. This is available through email, too, and I encourage you, I'm sure that you have routines, daily routines. I hope you're reading through the Bible and you're encountering the heart of God as we've done this morning. But I hope that you will make part of your routine praying for the unreached. It's not fair. It's not right that they're cut off with the gospel. It's not okay that the Hausa in Cote d'Ivoire, over 1 million of them, have so few believers among them. So let's lift the Hausa of Cote d'Ivoire up this morning. Will you join me in prayer for the Hausa this morning? Father, we do say that it's unfair. It's not okay. It's you see it as unfair that the Hausa have not had an ample opportunity to hear about what you did for all of us. And so today we join with thousands of your family members, thousands of your children. This morning we lift up the Hausa to you, and we ask that you would make that history. And that the new story for the Hausa would be that they would have the glorious light of the gospel shine on them. Those who lived in darkness would see a great light, the great light of your glorious message. And I ask that you would help us to make a choice to obey you, to follow you in obedience to the Great Commission, that we would look beyond our shores. We would not neglect our neighbor. We would not neglect our family members that must also know and must also be brought into the family. But we would lift our vision, and we would see those who are cut off currently from your message. I ask that you would just pour down blessing on this body of believers. As the song says, we see mercy drops falling, but we're praying for showers of blessing. that blessing is with a purpose. And so I ask that as you pour out your blessing on these faithful servants of yours and this faithful church who won't neglect the true preaching of the gospel, as you pour out blessing, you would enable them and you would guide them and you would empower them to be able to spread that blessing as far as they can. Thank you for those who are supported by this church in financial and prayer support. Thank you for those who have already come to speak, those who will speak tonight and in coming weeks, and those who are sent out by this church. Cover them, provide for them, make them effective, and I'm expecting great things as this body of believers continues in obedience to you. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for your wisdom, your words to us, your message to us. Thank you that we hold this treasure, and we pray that it will extend beyond us to the ends of the earth. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Thank you.
Amen. The thing that fuels us being faithful to what we've just looked at from Genesis to Revelation is Christ being the supreme